This morning, I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. This goes along the same tenor of the kids' lesson. But the title of my message this morning is, I Am Debtor. I Am Debtor. And this is, Romans is the book that Paul wrote, a letter that he wrote to the Romans, said, I'm coming. And I want you to understand who Jesus Christ is. And Paul talks about what motivates him in his life. And folks, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you know what Jesus has done for you. Right. And when someone does something good for you, you are indebted to them. And so we're going to be looking at Romans chapter 1, verses 14 through 17. But before we open and read God's Word, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You that we're in the presence of You right now. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You, Lord, for its truth. We thank You, Lord, for its power. Lord, I just ask that You just help us, Lord, to pay attention, Lord. Let Your truth not come back void, but, Father, that it'll change us and make us more like You. Father, bind Satan on our behalf. Let Your Holy Spirit have full reign. Help Your Word come alive. Help us to understand, Lord. And Father, help us, Lord, just to praise You in our heart. Lord, we thank You and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In our text this morning, Romans chapter 1, verses 14 through 7, the title of our sermon comes from the first three words. Paul says, I am debtor. And now he goes on to explain what that is. Both to the Greeks and to the barbarians. Both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. This is a prelude for him coming to Rome. And we know that God's going to send him there. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. You know, we have a very interesting phenomenon going on in our culture today. There are people that think that they are entitled. They think that the world owes them something. And, you know, people think that if I don't get a job, I can still be a millionaire when I'm 30 years old. That doesn't happen that way. The Bible says, if man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. But we have this entitlement mindset that everybody owes us something. And I'm not saying that everybody does, but there's a great majority of people that feel that way now. And I think that society in general has nurtured that thought. And you can get lazy and say, everything's coming to me. Why do I have to do anything? What mine is mine and what yours is mine, and therefore I don't have to worry about it. And the problem is when you think that way, when something doesn't go your way, you get mad at it. And there's a lot of grumbling when all is not going well. People really high when things are going well. People really low when they're not. Don't you see that today? You know, I did a little bit of research, and there's 9 signs on thinking that people owe you something, or thinking that you're entitled or you deserve to be entitled. The first one is an air of superiority. People owe you because you deserve it, because you're better than them. The second sign of entitlement is that they have unrealistic expectations. They think that everything should come to them and that they should not have any lack at all. That's unrealistic. Another sign of someone who thinks that the world owes them something is self-pity when they don't get what they want. And they say, oh, woe is me. That person didn't do that. You know, that could have happened in the parable of talents between the guy that got the five, the guy that got the two, and the guy that won one. What they looked at each other and thought that way. Bullying going on. Trying to force your way on something, force your will on someone because you deserve that. Having a double standard. Have an attitude of having no compromise. You can't deal with anybody. Having an attitude of always being the center of attention. Wanting men's praise. Wanting to be admired. And if you don't get that, you use punishment. And then lastly, anyone else is a threat or a competitor. That's how people who think that people owe them something think. You know, when you think about that and you look at the Pharisees and the New Testament, what Christ was dealing with there, you see that same attitude. In Matthew chapter 23, verses 4 through 7, Christ talks to the crowd and he talks to them about these Pharisees who thought they were entitled based on their position. The whole Jewish nation thought they were entitled because they were Abraham's seed. There's people think that they're entitled because they live in a certain country. There's people that think that they're entitled because they are a certain color skin. But here in Matthew 23, verses 4 and 7, it says, "For they bind heavy burdens and grievous be borne." This is what they do. "And lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all the works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garment and love the uttermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi." There's a lot of people out there think the world owes them something. There's a lot of people out there think God owes them something. And the Pharisees and the religious people of that day thought that way. You know, before they were crucifying, Christ said, we need to get rid of Christ. Because if we don't get rid of Christ, we could lose our place in our nation. They were just like this. They thought because of their heritage, they were something. But you know, there's warnings in the Bible about that. Warnings against thinking that you are entitled. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 3, it says, "For if a man thinketh himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself." James chapter 4, verse 6 says this. It says, "But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." We're not talking today about the world owing you something. We're not talking today about God owing you something. We're talking today about how Paul felt because of what God did in his life, what Christ did in his life. And he comes up and he says this. He says, "I am a debtor. I am debtor." See, what I want you to look at this morning is that Paul thought he owed the world something. And folks, as Christians, we need to think in the process of going out and not getting in. It is blessed, is more blessed to what? Give than to receive. And we need to have a change of thought, a change of motivation here. And so what Paul is explaining here in this passage is a desire that each and every one of us should have. We are debtor. We are debtor. But we need to understand about what this is talking about. We need to look at Paul, the man in debt. You know, a man in debt is a man who has received something. He has received something. You know, and I could sit here and talk about Dave Ramsey buying cash for everything else. But you go down to a car lot, and you go and you buy a car, and you don't have the money. You receive a car, but you sign a loan. And now you are in debt. You want to go down, you want to buy a house, you see this nice house, and you want to live it, but you don't have the cash to buy it. You get the house, and they get the promise of a mortgage payment. See, the issue is a man in debt is a man who has received something. And there's a lot of people mired down in the debt of the world. And we could talk about other things, about national debt, but we're not talking about that today. But I will tell you this. When you talk about getting stuff and having more than your resources will allow, let me show you what Proverbs 22 verse 7 says. The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. So the issue is Paul sees himself as a servant. He sees himself as in debt to someone. But it's not about the world. He wants to give things back to the world. Paul has received something. What he's done is received salvation. In Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7 it says, in whom we have what? Redemption. What does that word mean? It means to be bought out. We preached a year ago about what salvation is really about. It's about being taken out of the slave market. The Bible says in 1 John 4, it says, he is the propitiation or the payment for our sins. When he said it was finished on the cross, he said it's paid in full. Christ has redeemed us. Paul has redeemed. He was one of them. Remember, he was a Pharisee. He was just like them. And we're just like the world before we meet Christ. But God changed him on the Damascus Road. Christ changed him there when he met him. And it changed his whole perspective on stuff. He says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Not by works of righteousness that we have done, but by his grace we saved us. So Paul understood what God had done in his life. And he says, I'm indebted to God for that. I'm indebted to God for that. What really Paul was going at is that his debt was not a debt to get somewhere. His debt was a debt because he's going somewhere. He's going to heaven. And he's grateful for that. And folks, what we do in our life should be basically based on gratitude towards God. What did Christ say? The two greatest commandments. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love thy neighbor as thyself. If you love someone, you'll do stuff for them. It's not about get me. It's about I'll give to you. See, Paul's debt was not a debt of sin, but a gratitude. It was gratitude for having been saved. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, this was his attitude. And folks, I think Christians today need to get this. We need to get this. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Folks, if you realize what God has done for you, you'll change your heart. There'll be a change in your mannerism, in your language, and everything else because we owe Him everything. God owes us nothing. Amen. And so Paul's debt was one of gratitude. Gratitude for having been saved. Gratitude for God's grace toward him. Folks, we have all of our needs supplied according to the riches of his grace and glory. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10, he says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. God has changed me. If God has changed you, you ought to be happy for that.
Amen.
And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. Remember those gifts, those talents? Two used them, one just buried it. Didn't do anything with it. That's using it in vain. Folks, oftentimes we take salvation in vain. Oftentimes we take grace in vain because we don't do anything with it. We're not grateful for it. We don't love God any more than what we did before. He says, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. See, feeling gratitude will make you do something about it. Having a feeling of gratitude. He says, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Paul, the man in debt. He wasn't in debt to the world. He wasn't in debt to any church. He told the Philippians, he says, well, actually the Corinthians, he says, my hands have supplied all my needs. He says, I don't care. He said, the only thing I want out of you is to know Jesus. That's it. So Paul was not in debt to the world. Paul was not in debt to get to heaven. Paul was in debt because he was going to heaven. And he wanted to honor and he wanted to serve God with everything that he had. Folks, that's what we should do. Amen. We need to understand that salvation is so precious that we should give our all to him. So we see Paul, the man in debt. And then it goes on here and it says, to whom must Paul pay this debt? We need to understand that our debt of gratitude to God is paid out in service to mankind, in service to humankind, and just not holding on to it. It's important to know where the debt must be paid. Now, if you have a car loan and you have the coupon book, every month you get the coupon book out, you put a check, you put an envelope, and you hopefully it gets there. And if it doesn't get there, it's not the loan company's fault, it's yours. Folks, we need to make sure that our debt gets paid. In a worldly sense, folks, we need to make sure that our debt gets paid in a spiritual sense too. We need to show our gratitude to God in everything that we do. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do it what? Heartily, as unto the Lord, not unto men. See, when we mail something, there's an address on the envelope, and we hope that it'll get there. But when we're doing something for God, that address is heaven. Lay up not for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust are corrupt, but lay up your treasures where? In heaven. We pay it forward. We pay it forward. You know, there's examples of why this is true. So what debt should we do? What should we do because we are saved? We should share the good news to other people. God doesn't need it. But there's a dying world going to hell that does. And there's people that need Christ. They need the good news.
Amen.
Grace. God doesn't need grace. He's the author of all grace. But if we didn't have grace, we wouldn't be who we are. And we wouldn't want to labor. But there's a whole race of mankind out there that needs grace. Forgiveness. The Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who what? Trespass against. God doesn't need forgiveness. He's perfect. But mankind needs His. Mankind needs His good news. Mankind needs His grace. Mankind needs the forgiveness of sins. Mankind needs salvation. Mankind needs what we can give by the power of God. See, our debt of gratitude must be paid in service to men. The debt must be paid here and out there. How do we minister to the needs of others? Well, you do the right thing. This week in VBS, we talked about the armor of God. We talked about the breastplate of righteousness. They said, what is righteousness? Right is just right. Righteousness is right. It's right words. It's right actions. It's right thoughts. It's all those things. And if you have right thoughts, you'll do right good. You'll do right deeds. If you do right deeds, you'll have right words. Jesus gives the answer of how we can honor Him and love Him. In Matthew chapter 25, verses 35 through 40, he says, "For I was hungered and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came not unto thee?" And verse 40 is the key. "And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." You know, we need to minister to Christ's hunger in a spiritual sense and also in a physical sense. Remember James chapter 2? What good is your faith if you say, "Warm and be filled," and you don't do anything about it? He says, you know, there's all sorts of people out there that are hungry. "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Our motivation needs to be for Christ. There are those who have heartaches. Jesus wept over Jerusalem. Jesus got up in the temple and cried out, "I'm the bread of life. I'm the light of the world. I'm the water where you never thirst. I'm all these things and you reject me." We need to share that message. There's many in tears today. And we should, because we know where we're going, we should be able to comfort them. There's many that are wounded and are in trouble. What have you done to show the love of Christ? "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." It says, "Inasmuch," what was the verse here? "Inasmuch as you've done it to the least of these, ye have done it unto me." Why should we do it? Not to get to heaven, but because we're going there. The Bible says in the book of Jude, it says, "Some having compassion, making a what? Difference." Difference. We need to make a difference. The scope of Paul's indebtedness. You know, it says here, it says, "I am debtor both to the Greeks, those who were cultured, and to the barbarians, the non-Greeks that didn't have the Greek culture." He says, "I'm indebted to all of them." He says, "I'm indebted to those that are wise, and also those who are not wise. I'm indebted to the rich, and I'm indebted to the poor. I'm indebted to whatever color of skin you are. I'm indebted to it." And the scope of Paul's indebtedness did this in his life. In the back of your Bible, you have a map, probably, of Paul's missionary journeys. Look at what it did. It got him out of where he was and put him where God wanted him to be. He was directed by God. He did all these things for God because he had this attitude. He says, "I must do this. I must do this." He says, "Woe is me if I don't preach the gospel. Woe is me if I don't serve God." Oh, folks, we need to understand what Christ did for us. And then we need to do, "God, here am I. Send me. Send me." But you know something? Over time, our vision of what we think is ministry to God has shrunk. It's shrunk. It's to all. "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." We don't define. We'll have more influence here than we will overseas, but we can still send missionaries.
Amen.
So, to whom must Paul pay this debt? To mankind. To whom should we pay the debt for our salvation? To mankind. To humankind. There's a lost world out there. They need to hear the good news. Paul was ready to pay his debt. In verses 15 through 16, he says, you know, we are to pay our debts as we are able. Here's some good, sound financial advice. Don't take out a debt if you can't pay it back. There's a lot of that going on today. Thinking that I'll get forgiveness from national debt relief. Or I'll get forgiveness from the IRS. Or I'll get forgiveness from the government. And they take on all this. No. Folks, we have a debt to God that we cannot pay back. He gave His all for us. We're not supposed to owe any man anything because we're not supposed to become servant to the lender. But we need to pay our debts. It makes no sense to not meet debts when you have the resources available to pay them off. God has given us everything that pertains to what? Life and godliness. He says in 2 Corinthians 5, He says, we are ambassadors. We are ministers. We are servants. We are fellow brethren and sisters. We are His children. And He's given us everything we need. Romans chapter 8, verse 12 says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. Let's get our mindset out of the world and get it on heaven. Let's get our mindset out of, I have to do this, to I want to do this because I love my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let's get our mindset into one of love instead of duty. Let's get our mindset out of one that's a relationship instead of religion. Let's get our mindset out of pleasing God instead of pleasing men. Paul was willing and ready to do this. And as I close, let's just look at the last piece of this passage. The first thing is, he wasn't ashamed of the gospel. There's a lot of Christians that have so much camouflage of the world on that they don't look like Christians in the world. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall not be ashamed. Romans chapter 10. He realized the power of God. He says, for it is the power of God unto salvation to what? Everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and then also to the Greek. Paul saw this thing as the right thing to do. And folks, we need to understand it is the right thing to do. He says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. And then he was willing and ready because he lived by faith and not by sight. He says, for the just, for it is written, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Folks, if we truly have faith in Christ, we'll do something for Him. It goes beyond a commitment card. It goes beyond church attendance. It becomes our way of life. And why do I do these things? I don't do them to earn God's favor. I do them because I have God's favor.
Amen.
I don't do them to seek God's power because He's already going to give that to me. Or to seek His recognition. I do it because I love Christ. And He did everything for me. He gave up heaven and the throne for me. He did it for you. Are we ready? Are we ready? Do you know Him as your Savior? You know, there's always the thing is when you do something good, you feel good about it. How do you feel about your Christian walk this morning? Do you feel like you're doing what God wants you to do? Or can you do some more? Let's do what God wants us to do. And let's do all we can because of what God's done for us. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day. Lord, I just ask you this time of invitation. Father, just help us, Lord, to follow you.